can't fix it now. I guess it's better than not working. But again, good morning, everybody. I'm going to do something that I rarely do. I'm going to make a declaration. You're going to like this one. I'm going to be brief. Mark's laughing. Timing, Mark. Get your watch out. I'm going to be brief. Okay? All right. We'll see how that works out. We've been talking about faith. And, I'm just going to tell you straight up. Part of the reason why we're going to be brief is because I am hungry today. And I smell something. I don't know who cooked it. But something down there smells great. So I'm not going to rush. I'm going to let the Lord work and take his time. But we're not going to dilly-dally around. We're going to get to it. We've been talking about faith and developing deeper faith, what that means, and understanding that faith is not just belief. It's not just having an idea or a concept of who God is, but it's how we actually go about living, how we actually take steps, how we actually move forward in faith. And today, I want to talk about a word, a term, a subject, if you will, that it's almost impossible to talk about increasing your faith without dealing with this particular thing, and that is fear. Generally speaking, anytime you have to do something that requires faith, it is impossible to encounter these things without dealing with fear, because fear is oftentimes what holds us back. Sometimes it's legitimate fear. It's fear that we should have. It's reasonable to have fear in certain situations. Other times, it's just things that are unknown, things that frankly are not even rational. But there are other things that get in the way. And it's very easy to just say, you know, hey, you need to overcome your fear because it's something that I'm not afraid of. But it's something totally different when it's you, right? You know, and I want to talk about this, how we deal with faith in the presence of something that scares us, in the presence of something that causes us fright. And I've given the title to the sermon today, Watch Your Step. Watch your step, and you'll see why I give it this here in just a second. This, you know, we're talking about fear. Sometimes this is what you do, right? You're afraid, you're scared. You know, you just can't face it. You don't want to look at it. You run away from it. You know, this is talking about phobias, and it talks about the four major specific phobia categories. So here we got, you know, things that says natural environment. You know, some of you get afraid of storms. Or don't be looking at me like that. I know some of you are afraid of this stuff. Here's another one, animals. You know, some are afraid of animals. There's people like, no, I'm not afraid of animals. But then as soon as you hear my dog barking, it's like, ooh, you know, afraid of animals. Others, this is talking about medical treatments, mutilation. Like, I'm afraid to go in for that procedure. And it's not even necessarily just because I've got to go in and let the doctor look at me. I'll be honest with you, I don't really want to go under anesthesia, right? I don't want to. It's not the knife that I'm afraid of. I just kind of would rather be awake for it. And the doctor's like, no, you wouldn't, you know. And then other ones just talking about situations, right? You know, fear of flying, fear of different events, things that might go wrong. You know, this is a, and I'm not going to leave this up here very long, but all I got to do is put up a picture of this guy. See what I'm talking about? I saw four people cringe, a couple people turn their head, right? Just the sight of him, and you know he's not even real. He's not coming to get you. But the idea of it is like, ooh. You know what, I will jump off, I'll parasail, I'll do all kinds of things, but no to the spiders, right? This one is one for me, that this is a fear that I have, this guy. Anybody recognize him? Yeah, this is that Chesapeake Bay Bridge tunnel thing. Yeah, whatever it is, it's like, look, I'll pay whatever tolls, I'll get home an hour later, I'm not doing it, right? It's just not my thing, right? I generally don't like bridges. I don't like going under bridges. I don't like going over bridges. And this tunnel is just, the tunnels are the thing. I don't do tunnels, right? I think I've told some of you all the story about how when we went to go visit my sister a couple summers ago, I went up through the Lincoln Tunnel. It was the wrong way. I had no business going that way anyway. I made a wrong turn. But as we got to the Lincoln Tunnel, I'm thinking, ooh, this is kind of long, right? It's going to take a while. Then there was traffic. So then I got stuck in the tunnel. And the kids are all, the satellite radio went out because we couldn't get reception. So the kids are like fussing, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is not the time, kids. This is just not the time. You don't even know how I feel right now. I don't like tunnels. We all have that something. And it's important that we are able to not only recognize those things that we're afraid of, but be able to recognize them on a spiritual level. Because when it comes to carrying out the things that God wants us to do in our walk with Him, sometimes what stops us is what we are afraid of. I want to look at a passage that talks about this today. Many of us know this. Matthew chapter 14, we'll start in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. We see this example. We've read this before. We see what happens here. Jesus, it's the end of the day. It's time to get a break and, get a little rest. And the scenario is he's a little distance away. And so rather than waiting for the next, ferry to come along, he says, I'm just going to walk on over there, right? It's nothing but a short walk. So he walks over to them, and they're terrified. And you think, yeah, that's kind of reasonable. You see, it's dark, it's late at night. I've seen all the horror flicks. This thing is walking on the water. This is scary. You should be scared. The fear itself is not what was unreasonable, right? Then Jesus identifies himself and says, "Hey, take heart. Don't be afraid. It's just me." How many times we face something like that in life where we were afraid of it, we were scared, and then God reassures us? Well, Peter takes it a step further. He says, "Okay, if it really is you, because I have faith in you, I know who you are. If it truly is you, have me come out and walk onto the water." And he says, "Come on." He calls his bluff, right? He calls his bluff. He says, "Come on out." And then Peter goes out on the water. But what happens? What happens is Peter started doing what? Started looking around. He said, "You know what, this whole walking on water thing and walking with Jesus on the water is new, but I know what it's like when wind starts coming and the waves start coming up." And, he was a fisherman. He understands the sea. So he starts seeing all this stuff go around, and then what happens to his faith? He starts to doubt. He starts to sink. He becomes even more terrified because what? Now he's about to drown. And Jesus' response to him was, it wasn't, oh, you know, let's try this again, you know. You know, get back in the boat, let's start over. No, his question to Peter is very similar to the question that he asked us even today. Why did you doubt? Why did you stop? You were doing it, Peter. You were actually walking on the water. Why did you doubt? And we can look at Peter and we can think this whole scenario that many of us have read before, we can look at it and sometimes forget that this is what he's saying to us today. Why did you doubt? You know who I am. You know what you've been called to be as a disciple and as a follower of mine. You're following in my example. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've empowered you. I have deputized you to go out and do the work. Why did you doubt? Our fears are turned into faith only by keeping our eyes on him. When we get distracted and we lose sight of Jesus and we start thinking about the people at our job, we start thinking about our neighbors, we start thinking about our health problems, you know, going back to that list of the different phobias, everybody, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's not afraid of the same thing. I was thinking about the spider. I see a spider and it's like, ooh, man, this is going to hurt little spider when I step on him. You know, I hate to have to crush him, but hey, you know, got to do it. I don't have that fear, but somebody in here does. Some of you guys have traveled up and down, you know, the Eastern Shore so many times. You've been under that tunnel and I'm thinking, you're a brave man, you're a brave woman, you know. It wouldn't require you to overcome any real fear. But for those things in your life that you are afraid of, the question is exactly what is it that's keeping you from being able to carry out and do the things that Christ is calling you to do? When he says, come out on the water, what is it that's actually stopping you? What is it that's actually causing you to sink? Because Jesus is right there. So what is it? It's the fact that you lost sight of him. Those fears become bigger than Christ himself. You know, digging a little deeper into this, I want to, you know, talk about, well, sometimes it's not even fear, right? Not in the classic sense or by the strictest definition of the word. Sometimes what keeps us from being willing to go forward and do what Christ asked us to do is this word, insecurity. We just don't feel very confident. We're just a little sheepish. We're a little taken aback because we just don't feel like we have what is necessary. I like this quote. Sometimes our thoughts are backed by so much insecurity that they create lies we believe. We get to the point where we start believing the lie. And what is that lie? The lie is, for some people, you know what? I just don't know enough about the Bible to really be able to do the work that Christ is asking me to do. Or I'm just not smart enough. I've sinned too much in the past. I'm not very eloquent in my speaking. People don't really respond to me. They don't like me. You know, those insecurities, that self-doubt, all the negativity, all the tapes that get replayed and replayed. And I just thought about that as I said it, like nobody listens to tapes anymore. But all the recordings in our head, right? Yeah, I'm dating myself. But yeah, all the recordings in our head, all the things from our past keep coming back. You're not good enough. They won't listen to you. You can't do this thing that God has put on your heart to do because, well, you know what? I have a failed marriage, or I've had bankruptcy, or, you know, I wasn't always the most spiritual guy in the world. And so we have these insecurities that creep up, and God is saying, no, go forward. Do it because I'm telling you to do it. You can trust me. And you know that I'm not going to lie to you. But is the truth of who Christ is enough for us to be able to overcome those insecurities? The last passage I want to look at here is Matthew chapter 14. And this happens right before. If you are reading in an actual Bible, a paper Bible or something, you can go back and you can look, and you'll see that this is what comes up right before what we just read about Peter walking on the water, coming out to Jesus. In verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Even as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. We recognize this as a miracle. We think, man, that's amazing what Christ did, where he took just a couple little barley loaves and the fish, and he fed all these thousands of people. And sometimes in looking at the miracle and seeing what Jesus did, we can forget that faith is understanding that he can do the same thing with you. That not only can he wants to do the same thing with your life. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is, he told them right before he did this, before he prayed and gave thanks, he said, you don't need to send them away. He said, what you have here is enough. Very often, our insecurities tell us we aren't enough. We don't have enough. We can't meet this expectation. We're not up to the task. And what we see here is another example of faith and how we overcome faith when we deal with our own insecurities and say, I'm no longer going to allow my insecurities or my perceived shortcomings, past failures, whatever it is, I'm not going to allow that to stop me. I'm going to live by faith. What does that living by faith look like for you? It means not allowing doubt and insecurity to dominate, to stop you from doing what Christ is actually calling you to do. God wants to increase our faith in him by using what is obviously not enough for his glory. You know, you think about what it means to be not enough. And a few weeks ago, you know, I guess it's been a little longer than that, we were talking about this. We were looking in Hebrews 11. It talks about all those men and women of faith. Well, guess what? None of them were adequate. None of them by themselves were enough. I was, interesting enough, I was reading about Moses, and we're going to talk about him here in a couple weeks. But I was reading about Moses and how Moses was what God wanted to use. Moses was a man of faith, but sometimes Moses allowed his insecurities to get in the way. He knew his past. He knew what he had failed to do. It's a funny story we're going to talk about, but it's like his wife knew what he had failed to do. Got mad at him, right? You know, there's all of these failures and all of these shortcomings, and we just don't have this. And you know, I need to, you know, fix my finances, and I need to lose weight, and I don't have enough of this, and my marriage isn't good enough to be able to help other people find Christ, and my children, and we come up with all these things. And suddenly, it sounds about right. Really, those insecurities and those fears become excuses. They become excuses that we use because we just don't want to have faith. We know that Christ can overcome all of those shortcomings, all those men and women of faith that we read about in the Word. We know it. We don't even have to look back at that. We can see it in our own lives. We know people. We have relationships with people, some people even in this room, that have overcome, that have taken those steps, that have sought out faith rather than fear. But those insecurities, those fears, those things that we put up there, those things that distract us, the wind and the waves that are coming, they become excuses. We have to commit ourselves to not making excuses for why it is that we're not living lives of full and deeper faith. What are those things for you? Just like everybody has their own fears, everybody has their own insecurities. You know, I talked to, there was a lady at my kid's school, asked me to come speak to the kids. I'm glad Kendall left. Kendall doesn't know this. But anyway, I'm coming to speak to Kendall's class. We'll see how that goes. I'll let you know, what, next week? Because it's this Thursday. But the thing is, we were talking, me and her teacher, we were talking about public speaking. And you know, she said, I just assumed that you don't have any fear of speaking since that's kind of what you do. I said, no, but, you know, it can be a little scary sitting in front of a bunch of little kids. You know, it's not quite the same thing as talking to a bunch of adults. The thing is, you look at something like that, and if I did have a fear of talking to little kids, if I did have this phobia, you know, which would be kind of odd because I was once a little kid myself, but the point is, very often we look at these things and we can look at another person almost in a, we may not be consciously thinking, but almost in a seat of judgment. I don't understand why that person doesn't just overcome and deal with it and just go out there and find some work. Or why don't they just go out there and talk to that person? Why don't they just deal with it? And forgetting that, guess what? You have things related to your faith, related to you, that God is specifically putting in your path, that he wants you to deal with. Are we going to do that? When we leave here today, when we go forward throughout the rest of this week, are we actually going to face those fears? Are we actually going to do what God asks us in spite of our own insecurities? What is it that we're going to allow to hold us back? What wind, what wave, what distraction is going to come along that's going to distract us from living the bold, faithful life that God wants from us? A few questions that I want to end with here. First one, what will it take to get you to step out on faith? What part of your past won't allow you to reach for him? You know, I say that, what part of your past, and because let's face it, for many of us, that's what it is. We've tried something before. We've done this before. I've sought this thing out before, and it just didn't work. Or I didn't have anybody there to help me. Again, I know who I was. I know what I still struggle with today. And then we allow our past to stop us from moving forward in faith. We can sometimes look at Peter and the different ones who were following Jesus during his ministry and forget that these men were looking for something. They wanted something more. That's why Jesus called them. But they hadn't always been out here bold doing so many things. That's why they scattered once he was taken to be crucified. Their faith was shaken. They had seen failure after failure after failure. They didn't understand, but it didn't stop there. What is stopping us from moving forward and having deeper faith? What are those things that prevent us from taking that step, that next step? Maybe we've done a whole bunch of things, but there's that one thing that we're just afraid to do. That one person we're afraid to talk to, even though we know they need God, Even though we know that that's exactly why we are in relationship with them right now, is because God has sent you to do it. What is that one thing that we're afraid to take a step and do? Second question, what are the distractions in my life that most cause me to sink? How do you overcome those waves and the wind? What is that distraction? You know, I talked about those insecurities. What is that thing? What is that thing that distracts us? It's not always, you know, I was just busy and hanging out, or I was just watching TV. Yeah, those are distractions too. But sometimes the distraction is that thing playing in your mind that, you know what, I just don't really feel like I can really have the time to devote to this. I want to be more like Christ in this way, but I just don't really feel like I can pray with people. I just don't really feel like I can effectively share the gospel with them. And I know this is what he wants me to do. But the next step in my faith requires me to get rid of those distractions. What are those distractions? Those inward distractions. Not the outward ones all the time, but sometimes those inward distractions. Those insecurities that prevent you. How do we overcome those ways? What do you have to do? Sometimes it's just a matter of being open about it and getting help. Allowing others to instruct you, allowing others to encourage you, or just for that, you know, for that matter, you could just open up about it and have people pray for you, and God knows what he wants to do and he's going to work it out. But are you willing to take those first steps in dealing with those distractions? Next one. Do you believe that God can make what you have enough to have an impact on others? Do we limit ourselves by only seeing what we can do and not what God can with what we bring? You know, one of the most powerful things about this is the idea that there is no calculation, there is no formula that you can come up with that says just a few loaves of bread and a handful of fish is enough to feed thousands of people. And just so that there would be no, like, you know, anything strange, any ambiguity about it, they actually gathered more than they put out. So it couldn't be confused, like, well, you know, maybe there was, these were magical fish, they were special, and so they just, all they needed was this much. No, they actually brought back an increase. Do we have the faith that says, God's going to take my little bitty limitations, what little bit I have, and he's not only going to make it work, but it's going to come back with more. But because I'm willing to share with my coworker about what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to truly give my life to Christ, because of that, he's going to take what little bit of energy, what little bit of knowledge, he's going to take what little bit that I have, and not only is it going to have an impact on them, but they're going to come back with others. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we understand that actually God wants to use you because of what limitations you may have, because of your perceived lacking? God actually wants to use you because of that. So that when the increase comes, it can be nobody's but his. It can be nobody's glory but his. It can't be, well, hey, you know, I'm just this wonderful, you know, intellectual and I know all these different things. No, it's because of your faith. Do we have that type of faith that says, I've only got a little bit and I know this is not adequate to meet the task? I know that with my own strength, I will definitely come up short, but God's going to bless it. Do we have the kind of faith that God's going to bless us, or are we so focused on our limitations and our fears and our insecurities and the things that we don't have that we lose sight of the fact that God can take what we don't have and just use what we do have? And finally, what can I do so that faith can become real in my life? Very simple question. What is the first step that God wants me to take in my journey of faith? What is that first step You know, in fitness and bodybuilding, they have this term, it's called plateauing out, where you reach a certain place, your body reaches a certain spot, and you just can't break through. It's like you just can't lift more. You just can't run faster. You just can't do anymore. And it's like you get to a plateau where it levels out. And it doesn't matter. You try to change things and manipulate things. But that breakthrough eventually comes with some tweaking, with some adjustments. Sometimes it's, you know what, maybe you need to do some different exercises. Sometimes you just need to eat something different. But what is that thing? What is that thing for you that's going to make faith become something that's more real, that's more evident? When Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" He wasn't just saying, "Why did you doubt that you could actually continue towards me?" He didn't deny him. He did not reach out for him. But when he was saying, "Why did you doubt?" He's saying, "But you know who I am. Not only did you want to walk on the water, not only did you want to come out to me, I wanted you to. I wanted you to succeed in growing in your faith. I wanted you to come out of the boat." God wants us to take these steps. He wants us to come out of the boat. He wants us to do something different. He wants us to see beyond our limitations. He wants that for us. What is the first step that we need to take in doing that? Maybe the first step is, I need to open up about my life. I need to get help about my life. I need to get help about where I am with God. My relationship with God is not right. I've never had a relationship with God like I need to. Maybe it's, you know what? I've gotten distracted. And I've gotten so distracted to a point where I really can't focus on the things that God is calling me to do because I'm too busy doing other stuff. I've got too many other things pulling and grabbing for my attention. I got too many fears. I got too many obstacles that I haven't given to him, and therefore they become excuses. If that's you today, don't leave that way today. As a church, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let us help one another so that we can get to a place where everybody in here can say, you know what? Looking back on it, I remember that place where I was afraid, where I was scared to step out, but I gave it to God. I was willing to trust him with it and really have real faith, not just what we say, but have real faith in who he was, who he is today. And as a result, my life is different. My faith is different. I'm no longer limited by those excuses or limited by those fears or those insecurities, because even though I still get afraid, even though I may still be insecure, I no longer allow that to stop me. I move forward and I give it to him. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.